Blog Talk Radio.
Do you watch Fox News all day? Are you dizzy from conservative spin? Are you a birther or teabagger? You might be suffering from a condition called barachnophobia. If so, the only cure is Liberal Dan Radio. Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Warning, Liberal Dan Radio is not a substitute for doctor's advice. Severe cases of barachnophobia may require psychiatric help. This may prove expensive if Republicans repeal health care. Listening to Liberal Dan Radio may cause you to embrace things like facts, logic, and reason. If these symptoms last for more than 4 hours, you have been cured. For more information, go to LiberalDan.com. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. If you want to call in to the show, it's area code 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368. Or you can join the chat room, which is up and running. Hit the Skype button there. Or you can listen, if you're listening during the after the live broadcast, to the podcast, you can always then go to leave your comments, questions, and concerns over at LiberalDan.com. Apologize for a slightly late start. And that's because there was an issue with Blog Talk Radio and connections. What else is new? Unfortunately, that seems to be the case frequently, that I am having issues, you know, with connection problems. And it's not on my end, on this, at least for today it wasn't my end. But typically I'll do lots of funny bits during the course of the show, but in this show, you know, dealing with two serious topics, I would be remiss, because I've been covering this topic a lot when it comes to, you know, gay marriage and marriage equality. The arguments were this week, so I'll be remiss if I would not talk about that for the first part of the show. That's what I'm going to do in the first part of the show, is I'm going to discuss that. Then when 8:30 rolls around, I will go ahead and take a short commercial break. I will switch gears. Start talking about, or maybe I'll start doing it before, who knows, start talking about the situation in Baltimore with the killing of Freddie Gray, and why there are so many things that need to be discussed when it comes to this individual case. If you follow me on Twitter, at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter, I do have some, you know, initial comments that I've made there, a personal Facebook page of my posts. I'm planning several things that I'm going to do. You know, there's just where to go first, so I wanted to have this kind of be my first real just chat about all of the issues that I'm having with all of the things that are being said about the Freddie Gray incident. And I think that I bring in a little bit, you know, half my life was spent in Baltimore. So I'm familiar with certain things that other people may not be familiar with. Some people have brought it up. I've seen it, some of the things. But, you know, it's having lived there for half my life, I've seen things, and I can speak, you know, not necessarily for the now, but at least, you know, with an understanding of how certain things work and why police really bungled certain things, and why certain things are being made to look like it's the fault of, like, you know, the kids are promoting, you know, and pushing this, a lot of the violence, but the police had an opportunity to make the situation, at least on the first day, kind of go away, and they didn't take advantage of it. But I'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, first I do want to talk about Obergefell, I don't know if that's the correct way to pronounce it or not, versus Hodges. Basically, you have arguments being made, I guess, in opposition to gay marriage, obviously, by these people who are just trying to suggest for many different reasons why we shouldn't have marriage equality in this country. And hopefully, I would like to think that this is going to be perhaps the last case that we have to see. Hopefully, what we will see in this case will be a ruling. It's not going to be 9-0. I can just state that for a fact. I know Alito, Scalia, Thomas, they are not going to. They're not going to side with equality. They're going to side on, keeping things the status quo, regardless of other previous Supreme Court rulings. They're just going to continue to rule in the minority. Roberts, I'm willing to think that maybe he might be willing to break with, some of his conservative nature. He did so with Obamacare. So maybe he can come along. Kennedy has asked some interesting questions, which kind of led people to, assume that he's basically the swing vote. I mean, he asked some questions that some of the anti-gay marriage people would like. He asked some questions that the pro-gay marriage people would like. But obviously, to me and to most people who are paying attention to this case, the hero, I guess, Supreme Court Justice has got to be notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If that's somebody, I wish her long health, because she nails the issues all the time. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, she just gets it so right so much of the time, and it's just, she actually brought up one argument that I had brought up. I guess I don't remember the topic. I remember it every now and then, in some discussion she was having. I think it was basically having to do with the Ninth Amendment, and I think. And she made the same argument that I made up, but I was like, it made me feel really good that not only did a Supreme Court justice make an argument that I had been making about that particular thing. Again, I don't exactly remember what it was, but that it was RBG that did it. That to me was, but in kind of the discussion over what's going on, and to me, it's some weird. I mean, like Bobby Jindal has called for, I think, Kagan and Ginsburg to recuse themselves from the case, and it's just ridiculous for him to suggest that. That nobody should be doing that because, why not request that the conservative justices, who obviously feel that they're obviously going to rule against gay marriage because they're against gay marriage, why shouldn't they recuse themselves? These justices are going to have biases, and occasionally you wind up with surprising things. It's just, I guess, a side note. I had talked about the higher ruling, HEIER, months ago on my show, and for some reason, that has been making its way around the interwebs recently. And I in response, I have a blog post on it, and I said, and when everybody posted it, I just went ahead and posted it myself, and it's been a pretty impressive spread of some very die-hard conservative people that I'm friends with on Facebook. I mean, real hardcore conservatives and real liberals both coming together in opposition to the ridiculous ruling. And that was an 8-run ruling. And actually, that was a ruling where I have to, I guess, again, where I say that Ginsburg gets things right. This one she did not, in my opinion, get right, because it was 8-1. And just to remind you, Heyer was the one who basically said a police officer could arrest some or could stop somebody under a misapplication of the law. Like in this particular situation, he believed that because the car had a busted taillight, that it was not drivable under this law, that you have to go get that fixed. But in reality, the law of the state requires the car to only have one working headlight to be satisfactorily meeting of the laws. So he wrongly pulled the person over, found some drugs in the car, and then when the person tried to have the evidence suppressed because it was pulled over in an unconstitutional stop, a lower court actually threw out the evidence, but the Supreme Court returned the evidence back into play, saying that that a mistake in fact doesn't necessarily mean a mistake in the law or whatever the quote was. It was horrific, and we should all be terrified of such things. But anyway, Ginsburg making the argument marriage today is not what it was under the common law tradition, under civil law tradition, said Ginsburg. When Justice Roberts and Kennedy began to fret about whether the court had a right to challenge centuries of tradition, marriage was a relationship of a dominant male to a subordinate female. That ended as a result of this court's decision in 1982 when Louisiana's head and master rule was struck down. Would that be a choice that a state should still be allowed to have, to cling to marriage the way it once was? No, replied John Birch, the somewhat chastened lawyer for the states who are seeking to preserve their ban on gay marriage. Birch was similarly eviscerated, this is from The Guardian, by Ginsburg, who he had tried to argue that the sole purpose of marriage was to ensure a stable relationship for procreation. Suppose a couple, Ginsburg says, a 70-year-old couple comes in and they want to get married. You don't have to ask so many questions. You know they are not going to have any children. She actually came to the rescue of a lawyer for the petitioners when he floundered on the question of whether states that ban gay marriage should have to recognize weddings carried out in other states. Would they be allowed to refuse recognition of other cases, such as where another state allowed the marriages of children after puberty? Justice Alito wanted to know. I think the presumption would be in such a state that someone at age 13 can't consent, interjected Ginsburg helpfully. All of the basically, and the bottom line of the people making the arguments in opposition to gay marriage was that, and this has been, being made by conservatives from day one, that you somehow weaken marriage if you allow marriage rights to more people. And even Justice Roberts supposedly, seemed sympathetic to the argument made by Ginsburg that all of the incentives, all of the benefits that marriage affords will still be available, so you're not taking away anything from a heterosexual couple. They would still have the same incentive to marry, all of the benefits that would come from marriage as they do now. So their RBG has it, and a lot of people are covering this, and it's just bizarre to me how this limited government, these limited government type folks who wish to argue about that state should have the, I have conservative friends who are trying to bring up incest, and other people try and bring up again, pedophilia. Of course, the bestiality thing comes in. Is like, I just don't understand why they need to muddy the water like that. It's just, we're talking about two consenting adults. Two consenting adults getting together and signing a contract. Why should the state have the authority to prevent them from doing so if they happen to be of the same gender? Now, if you want to ask why does the state have a right to come in and interject and prevent a person from being able to marry a dog or a child, the state can make a compelling argument that states that animals and children lack the legal capacity to consent to a marriage contract, and as such, should be unable to come into that contractual relationship with an adult, or another child, or another dog. So that answer should be very simple, and that should be enough for them. But for some reason, it's not. I don't know why it's not, but for some reason, it's not. As for incest, state can make a compelling argument stating that many incestual relationships are based on some sort of abuse that has taken place in the home. There is another argument to be made about if children were to be made by an incestual relationship, that it has been shown that there are some flaws, genetic flaws that can appear and it's in the state's interest to prevent that from happening. And so, you know, because you don't want to be discriminatory in your laws, because some people should not be able to do it, then you just disallow all people from being able to involve themselves in incestuous relationships, even if they're not necessarily based off of a past abuse, or if they are incapable of actually procreating. For example, if it was two gay brothers or two gay sisters, lesbian sisters, or what have you. There's a compelling interest for the state to come in and prevent such unions. And as such, the bringing up of those unions to counter marriage rights just really, there's no reason to do so. It's ridiculous. It's horribly flawed to suggest that these are in any way arguments that should be anywhere near the discussion that we're having, which is should a homosexual couple be able to sign a marriage contract. And if you listen to me for any amount of time, you know I'll bring up the Lisa Pond case. It's a case of a woman in Florida who were vacationing, two women, with one of them was the biological mother of the children that they were raising together. They had contractual power of attorney and other types of documentation that enabled them to have the full say of what comes in, what should be done if the other one is incapacitated. And because they were in a conservative area of the state, they were incapable of, those people were discriminated against, those that couple. The couple was not able to spend a lot of the woman's last hours with her partner because of the cruel way in which this contractual relationship was formed or was interpreted to be. And that's why you can't just name it just a civil marriage or civil union and that being the end of it. We've proven in this country that separate but equal does not work. It is not something that can be done, because as soon as something is not the same in name, it is then can be considered not the same in law. And the state can, you know, say, look, we don't recognize civil unions, we recognize marriages. The only way you get to the point where people have equality and there's no relationship is treated the same under the law, you call it the same thing under the law. It's as simple as that. It's a very simple concept. And, you know, previously I would say, look, just, you know, get marriage out of, you know, whatever, you know, and don't call any state recognized thing marriage, and then just let people, individuals, and churches call marriage whatever they see fit, and just allow. Nationwide, Popeyes is nationwide. I think there are Copelands and other places as well. He was married four times in the eyes of the state of Louisiana. The first marriage took place in a church to a Catholic wife, and he was Catholic, and so they were considered married in the eyes of the church. They divorced. The Catholic Church did not recognize that divorce, but the state did. He then went on to marry two additional women. The Catholic Church they were not married in the eyes of the Catholic Church. He was still married to his first wife in the eyes of the Catholic Church until that first wife died. Then he married his fourth wife in the eyes of the state, but it was done in a Catholic church. It was his second wife in the eyes of the Catholic Church. So you have two entities, a church and a state. The state did not require the church to recognize that marriage when it came to, the two marriages. It's just the church considered a marriage twice, the state considered a marriage four times. The religious rite of holy matrimony is not the same thing as a civil marriage contract. You do not have... You know, my wife was raised Jewish, my wife was raised Catholic. We didn't get married in a synagogue or in a church. We could not force a synagogue or a church to marry us, because we would have had to have followed their rules. And if we're not willing to follow their rules when it comes to their religion and the religious rites, the religious practices, and marriage, the holy matrimony, the religious union that is a marriage, is something that is a religious rite. Is something that is R-I-T-E, not R-I-G-H-T. It is something that is, the state shouldn't be interfering with. You know, unlike, you know, baking somebody a cake. Those are not, you know, that's two completely different things. No, there's no prescribed way to make a cake in the Torah. The Bible does Jesus does not say how to make a cake. There's no cookbook. So you can't argue that, you know, the requirements to make a cake is something that is a violation of someone's religious liberty, because it is not, there's nothing involved in that practice to suggest that there's nothing involved in the practice of religion that requires you to make that cake. Simple as that. So we will see how this case turns out. Again, it's the arguments that are on the anti-gay marriage side. They're just so antiquated. They're going, and they have to lose. They just have to lose. It will be better for this country if we get 6-3 versus 5-4. It will be much better. Now, granted, it might not be as good as 908-172. A lot of cases are that way. But, you know, you can kind of take what you can get, I guess. All right, let me go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and take the first commercial break. If you want to join in on the conversation, that's area code 347-838-8368. That's area code 347-838-8368, or you can hit the Skype button on the show page of Blog Talk Radio, or you can have the live broadcast, make your comments at liberalband.com. But for the break, this is Liberal Band Radio. Talk from the left, that's right.
Are you planning a trip to Disney soon? Do you want help avoiding spending mistakes and making the most of your vacation? Then check out Budgeteers.com, a new site devoted to helping you get the most mouse for your money. What kinds of tickets should you get? Is the dining plan a good deal for you? Should you stay on grounds or not? Should you buy park hoppers? Many other sites are filled with information about what other people like to do, but Budgeteers is geared to help you make the best decision for you. So check out Budgeteers.com or go to YouTube.com/Budgeteers and help make your trip the best it can be. Budgeteers.com is not a travel agency and is not affiliated with the Disney Corporation or any of its holdings.
I am sick and tired of the propaganda in today's media. You know, we can't have a sane discussion about politics. Well, yes, you can, and it's on RLJS Radio Live with your girls, Monica R.W. and Autumn S. I'm there every week when they discuss Michigan and national politics, job search, unemployment, and more from an independent left, sanity-based point of view. So, tune in. RLJS Radio Live, Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. sharp here on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, from New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, I live in New Orleans now. Again, if you want to call in, it's 347-838-8368. It's 347-838-8368. I am living in Louisiana now, living in New Orleans. I've been living here since, technically, since 94, 95. You know, I guess I officially made this my residence in 97, 98. But, you know, I was raised in Baltimore, Maryland. My favorite baseball team are the Baltimore Orioles. The Colts left. You know, my only memory of the Colts is them leaving. My only, you know, and I left Baltimore to come live here before the Ravens got here. So, I was raised in Baltimore spent almost half my life there. Went to middle school, day school, the high school at Baltimore Polytechnic Institute, Poly, as it's called. It's a magnet school, math and sciences. While this is my current home, you know, that is also my home. I have very strong feelings about Baltimore, and very upset when I saw that Freddie Gray was killed. Just another example of police brutality leading to the death of another black person in our society. As a white person, I was the only white kid in my neighborhood for several years early on in life. But my parents didn't raise me to see it that way. My parents actually raised me to be, somebody who just, get along with everybody. And that's what we did. It was kind of a poorer neighborhood before my parents split, and we had to go our separate ways, I guess, and move to a different part of the city. I remember one of my memories is just there was a big snowstorm. I think it was in '82, all of the neighborhood got together, and I was playing with the other kids in the neighborhood, and my dad was, they all grabbed their shovels. All the men in the neighborhood got together and just shoveled the street clear, just basically allow them to get in and out of the neighborhood. And it was, everybody acted neighborly. There was no, I didn't see any, differences there. I got along with everybody just fine. And if things could be like it was in that neighborhood, then it would be, things would be wonderful. I mean, we wouldn't have the problems if things were, the way that, that neighborhood was. If we could just expand that, it would be wonderful. Unfortunately, there is a systemic issue in law enforcement. And I do have a caller on hold. If you can have the option to raise your hand. I guess I think it's hitting one if you do want to talk to me. So, I'll be talking for a little bit, and then I'll take, your call. But make sure to raise your hand if you do want to ask a question or make a comment. I want to go back. One of my main thoughts that I've had about this, and I've tried to bring up on, to several conservatives, and they didn't seem to want to hear it, they didn't seem to want to like it, was this simple fact. And that is that this country, if you go back to the founding of this country, one of the main acts, one of the famous acts, one act that is looked upon by conservatives, i.e. especially the, quote, Tea Party, was those people who formed together to do that initial Tea Party. They saw an injustice. They saw, and it was taxes. And they saw an injustice that went on. And it wasn't enough for them to have peaceful protest marching down the street, protesting the government was doing to them. And they wound up going into the harbor and trashing, throwing the tea into the harbor, destruction of private property that didn't belong to the government of Britain. It was a private company's items and goods. But those people are deemed heroes. Those people, this caller went away. Those people were deemed heroes. You have people who, when there was a rancher and his cows were taken away, or were confiscated because he didn't pay his grazing fees, and you had Tea Party protesters coming down and aiming sniper rifles at the heads of law enforcement, they were deemed heroes by the people on the right. You have people walking around these Tea Party rallies with signs that say that the Tree of Liberty must be watered with the blood of tyrants. I think the Patriots do. I think that's the full quote. These people are viewed as being patriotic. They're patriots. The conservatives will, they look at those people being so patriotic with their throwing destruction of personal property and their threatening violence against law enforcement and by aiming a sniper rifle at their head and calling for potentially watering the, quote, tree of liberty with blood of tyrants. But let a black person do it. Let somebody who's black do it. They're thugs. And make no mistake, I've been saying this ever since Trayvon Martin. Thug is the new N-word. Simple as that. When people say thug, and they're talking about a black person, they are somebody who would have just dropped the N-bomb had it not been socially unacceptable for them to do so. So instead, they'd find another way to call people the N-word that it is taken to be a little, I guess, more socially acceptable. Well, maybe it shouldn't be. The black person would have had a sniper rifle aimed at the police officers of Baltimore. Do you think that he would have been allowed to walk free? Do you think such a person would be allowed to walk free? Do you think such a person would be walking around, would even be arrested? No. He'd have been shot. He'd have been dead. I talked about this other case a while back where you had a white person who walked into a police station, reaches into a police squad car, pulls out a semi-automatic weapon, waves it around. The police spend time to talk about it. We're seeing a case going on now in Aurora, Colorado. A white kid goes into a movie theater, starts shooting him up. He is alive for his trial. If that was a black person who would have done it, there wouldn't be a trial. He would have been summarily executed by the police. Period. You can try and argue that it wouldn't have happened that way, but you will never be able to convince me that if that shooting in Aurora, Colorado had been done by a black person, that he would have been allowed to have been arrested. Okay? There's nothing that you can say, nothing that anybody can say, to make me believe that this is going to be, that we do not have two systems of justice in this country, one for black people and one for persons of color, minorities, one for everybody else. So, what happened in this case? What happened in this case? You know, a lot of people want to talk about how after the funeral there was rumors of so-called purge. That there was rumors that, you know, a bunch of students were about to do something, whatever it was. And there's Mondawmin Mall is a major transit hub in the city of Baltimore. You know, and if you go to public school in the city of Baltimore, which I did, you use, if you're not getting a ride back and forth to school from your parents, you use public transportation. If you have low enough of an income, they give you tickets to go get on the bus and use those tickets, you know, so you don't have to pay for it. But they don't get yellow school buses to take you around and think about it. You go on the bus. You get a transfer if you need to transfer. You take whatever route it takes for you to outside of schools. You will see more buses of particular routes lined up there. The students will get in those buses. They will take those buses home. Sometimes, you know, a bus will come from one place and you hop on it and it's, you know, it includes students from another school and they're also going to the same place, especially if it's a magnet school. You know, one of my ex-girlfriends, you know, used to go to one school, one magnet school, I went to the other one. We actually met on the bus. So, and Mondawmin is one of these hubs where you have a lot of mass transit coming in together. And instead of allowing the kids to disperse, get on the mass transit, and go home, they shut it down. They shut down the mass system of mass transit in that area, which taking a lot of angry people over what's went on recently with the shooting of Freddie Gray. The killing, I mean, of Freddie Gray, I'm sorry. And you're letting them simmer in their anger together. They don't let them disperse. I think we would have had a whole different situation going on. But they did not let them disperse. They did not. So, I think that's part of the blame for what happened that belongs to the police. Now, of course, obviously, I believe a lot of the blame of what happened that day belongs to the police because of what happened to Freddie Gray in police custody. And you have a situation where, lots of people, especially white people, are coming in and saying, well, you shouldn't riot. You shouldn't be causing damage. You should protest peacefully. And they'll start trying to cite Martin Luther King. Well, Martin Luther King also said that the riot is the voice of the unheard. So if you don't listen to a group of people enough about their concerns, in general, they will start using more drastic means. And I'm not condoning at all violent actions against the people or against businesses. I'm not condoning that at all. But I'm not going to sit here and condemn them for what they're doing when it's not the cause of the problem. The rioting is this, or the uprising, whatever you want to call it, it's a symptom of a larger problem. The system, the people that are angry and have resorted to non-peaceful means of protest are been pushed over the edge by, and we're not blaming them, we're blaming them and not the system that pushed them over the edge. It's very simple. It's a very simple concept. You're pushed, how much is a community supposed to take? How much is How much are people supposed to deal with before, peaceful protesting is not enough? How many black lives have to be lost to law enforcement before it is okay for white people, for black people to get angry enough to take drastic means to defend themselves? One more? Two more? 5? 10? 100? 1,000? 10,000? I want to know if you're sitting here and condemning people for their actions in this situation, for taking actions that, you deem to be inappropriate. Then when do those actions ever become appropriate? Why are you going to condemn violence on behalf of people who are being oppressed by a system, but not condemn the oppressive nature of the system in the first place that also uses violence as a means? Now, we live in two Americas. We live in a country where, I'm never going to know as a white person what it's going to be like, what it feels like to drive while black, to be walking while black. I won't be stopped and frisked. No one's going to pull me over and stop and frisk me because I'm not black. I can yell at a police officer if I feel that the police officer is wrong, and that police officer is not going to do anything. Because I'm white. I remember I was driving down a street one day, and all of a sudden, I had, you know, there was a traffic light that had been flashing red for weeks. But we're coming down the ramp with a whole big bunch of furniture, because we just got the furniture to put in our new house. All of a sudden, we're coming down the ramp towards the intersection, and it's green. And we all said, wow, it's green, they finally fixed it. Go right through the green light. All of a sudden, lights in my back. Like, what's going on now? Does he not like the fact that I have the furniture in my truck? What's going on? Pull over. Police officer tells me, you ran through a flashing red light back there. Like, no, I did not! I start yelling. Immediately. My immediate response was to yell. I didn't think to myself that, well, maybe I shouldn't be yelling because this could create a situation that's going to be worse. Like, we'll go back there right now. I will go drive back with you right now and show you that traffic light is working. We even made the comments to each other when we were coming down the ramp that the light was green and it was finally fixed. We'll go back there. Oh, no, sir, that's not necessary. I'll believe you. So, but if I was black, would I have even thought of doing that? Probably not. Because, there's a great video that you should listen to. It's very it's not great in that it's wonderful, but it's great in that it's informational, especially if you're not black, explaining Wendell Pierce, the actor. He was in the city of New Orleans, driving through one of the rural parishes on his way to a funeral. He just picked up a relative from the airport. Two of them, I think his cousins were in the back seat of the car, young kids, and he gets pulled over, and he says, and the first thing he says, before he even goes into the specifics of this situation, he goes, whenever I'm pulled over, I reach into my wallet, and I put my wallet on the windowsill, because I don't want the police officer to have any thought in his mind that when he asks to see my driver's license, that I'm reaching for a gun. I've never thought this before. I've never thought that, when I've been pulled over for speeding, that I might have to, be very careful in what I reach for because they might think I'm pulling up for a gun. But he and other black people view this case, life in general, when it comes to interactions with police officers, that it could be a life-changing incident, that he could die this incident, this interaction, just because the police officer is not right. So I put the wallet up on the dashboard. He's sitting there. He's waiting. His air conditioner is blasting because it's Louisiana and it's hot. And he's in a suit. All of a sudden, he looks back in his rearview mirror and he sees the person hiding behind his door, gun drawn and cursing like a sailor to get the F out of the car. Just wait here, let me handle this. And he had a conversation, and of course he's still alive today, thankfully. But, and he says that this guy wasn't trained. But it's not even that fact that he wasn't trained, is that I'm sure that this police officer would not have acted this way if it was a white family in a car. It's a black family in a car. And the gun gets drawn. For no reason. There are certain steps that you're supposed to take as a police officer to when a system escalates. That never reached the point where pulling out the gun was in any way allowable. In any way, it should have been allowed for that police officer to pull the gun, but he did. Two systems of justice. We have two systems of justice in this country. Period. And you might not want to admit it, but it is the case. Now, as I said, Dr. King, as I said that the riots are the voice of an unheard people. And people better start listening, or else it's going to get worse before it gets better. And if it gets worse, I'm standing on the side of the oppressed and not the oppressors. Let me go ahead and take my last commercial break. Again, if you want to call in, it's 347-838-8368. That's again 347-838-8368. This is Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right. If you need legal representation or advice on issues such as family law, bankruptcy law, DWI, or other civil or criminal matters, you need hands-on legal advice from someone who will treat you as a priority and not just another number. So call the law office of Sherry I. Sandler at 504-528-9500. That's 504-528-9500. Or email sandlerlaw@cox.net. I trust Sherry with my legal needs, so should you. The preceding ad was an unpaid client endorsement. Do you like fun jewelry? Do you wish you could design jewelry that is designed just for you and that tells your story? Well, with Origami Owl, you can do just that. An Origami Owl jewelry bar is a fun way to get together with your friends, hang out, and design jewelry. There is no pressure to buy, but when you host a party, either in person or online, you have the opportunity to get deeply discounted jewelry based on what the friends you invite to the party purchase. If you would be interested in holding a party, either online or in person, go to cassiezcharms.origamiowl.com. That is cassiezcharms.origamiowl.com and contact Cassie today. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left. That's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman from New Orleans, Louisiana. Interesting comment in the chat room right now. That Gray killed himself and this will eventually come out. Now, that's pertaining to the story that I have heard already, supposedly one of the later police officers, or one of the later people that were picked up in that car, heard Gray banging about, I guess, in his portion of the wagon. And a lot of people are taking this to the nth degree and are now saying that it must have mean he was throwing himself around and causing himself bodily harm and as such killed himself. I can't, there's no evidence of that. There's only evidence that, you know, somebody is saying that there were sounds, and find it more highly likely than not that if he was not restrained in that vehicle, that, you know, he may have been in pain and may have been trying to. I think it's not only possible that he, if he was in pain and not being listed, he might have been trying to bang on the door, bang on something to get some attention. It's because they weren't paying attention to his pain that he was in, but. I think it's more probable to suggest that as a possible explanation of why such a person might have heard that noise coming from his part of the, you know, the van or whatever that he was in, as opposed to him throwing himself about trying to, quote, kill himself. One of the things that I find unfortunate in a lot of this discussion too is the fact that you have, a lot of people are complaining about the loss of property, and loss of property is horrible. I don't want to lose property, and I don't wish to anybody else to lose property either. But insurance can replace property damage. You can get yourself a replacement vehicle. You can get yourself, your business can be restored with insurance funds. You can't replace Freddie Gray. It's just that you can't. You cannot replace a person. Insurance will not do that, which is why, you know, we need to be more proactive about these things. We need to, and this is why people are getting fed up, and I think, you know, that why something. No, other idiots that are going to riot regardless and to come in and just, you know, use it as an excuse to go get a new TV or a new, you know, some just take stuff from a store. Sure. But while, you know, people are trying to blame certain fires on, on the people who are part of the uprising, there are other people who are saying that, you know, for example, the fire that was started, I think, in front of the library in Maryland, the Pratt Library. Somebody said John Swain, who is a verified member on Twitter, is saying the fire beside Pratt Library was not caused by a Molotov cocktail. The tear gas grenade landed on the trash, and its sparks set the fire, and he watched it happen. So there's a lot of, I guess, you know, misinformation on the outside. There are people who are trying to claim and use some sort of all-state claims process to state that he was involved in another accident previously, and his back was already broken. But then I found another website that refuted that point and said that this is a completely different, non-automobile-related insurance deal where we're dealing with some sort of property issues and had nothing to do with a hurt back or anything like that. Just people trying to discredit with as much misinformation as possible. And it goes back to the whole thing where, you know, they find something on the internet or they find some sort of, you know, screenshot of some picture or some document. And instead of taking the time to make sure that it's correct and they have the correct information before coming forward, they want to put it out there as fast as they can with some sort of crazy theory, because on the internet, as I stated before, it's more important to be popular than it is to be right. So if you can get lots of traffic to your site, and you can get a lot of people believing some sort of story that may or may not be true, by the time it's already said, what is it, a lie travels halfway around the world before the truth even opens its mouth? You know, once you muddy the water enough, the people are going to start looking at this. Oh, well, obviously, then the police must be justified in what they did. See, why is it that all minority groups only, of all the minority groups, only blacks are oppressed? I don't think I said that, and I don't think anybody else said that. But blacks are part of an oppressed minority group. To me, that is clear, and you have, because you have, again, I'm not going to be pulled over for driving while black. I'm not going to be stopped and frisked. I can raise my voice in anger at a police officer and not fear for my life. American black should be labeled as an endangered species and protected under the federal law. Well, that's for one thing. Authorities should be doing a better job of protecting citizens of color. That's basically what this all comes down to, is that, you know, you should not, you know, the gut reaction of a police officer should not be to pull a gun on a black criminal and to try and talk down a white criminal. It should be done, this you should handle, each situation is obviously unique in and of itself, but the color of the person should not reflect how you react. What was it? It was Dorner, I think the guy's last name was. The guy that was going out there killing cops in Los Angeles, and the LAPD was shot into a car, a pickup truck, thinking that he might have been the person in that pickup truck. It wasn't even the right color truck they fired into. They thought it might be him, so they opened fire. Boom. Killed people. Because shoot first, ask questions later when a black person is involved. Now, other topics I want to get to real quick before the end of the show. I'm sure I'll be talking about this issue for weeks to come. But I do want to focus a lot of it on, you know, kind of my feelings on this, especially with my experiences being somebody who was raised in Baltimore, who knows some of the facts, especially about, you know, the mass transit and how the police, by shutting down Mondawmin Mall and the MTA in that area, basically created a festering cesspool of just anger by not allowing the students to take their typical form of transportation, i.e. public transportation, home from school and allowing those people to disperse. The mayor should be recalled for dereliction of responsibility. Now, there's, the comment that was made by the mayor. To me, if you believe that the mayor really thought that they wanted to give them space to actually destroy property, that was their intent, was to allow them to destroy property. To me, that's the same type of person that believes that that when Obama said that there were 50 laws, 7 states, that he really believed that there were 57 states. It's ridiculous. Now, I remember seeing videos of, involving lots of white students after sports events, where majority white mobs would come out and destroy property. Police didn't run up right in there and prevent the destruction of property. They kind of hung back and let the property go because, while I do demand that there needs to be better handling of the police department, better training, that we need to have a police department that does not have this institutionalized racism that perpetuates, just keeps going. And it doesn't matter if the officers can be black, officers can be white, they can still perpetuate an institutional racism that treats black people differently than white people. Again, if there was a black person with a sniper rifle on the Baltimore police, that person would be dead, not even arrested. In the case of the rancher out west, where his cows were confiscated, those people had sniper rifles on law enforcement. It was on camera showing them doing this, yet they walk away scot-free. Somehow that's okay. Why? Because we have two systems of justice, one for black people, one for white people. To me, it seems reasonable to think that perhaps, I still respect all of the good police officers out there, and to expect that it could potentially be standard operating procedure in sort of any riot to not have a bunch of police officers just gang rush a group of rioting people who are who may or may not be out of control, who may, they may view the lives of the police officers as being more important than the car that's getting flipped over, or the car that's getting damaged, or the building that might be getting burned down, as long as there's no people in that building. So, if we're going to criticize this mayor for supposedly allowing people, basically saying to police, let's hold back a bit, and giving the protesters a wide berth, those protesters who were resorting to violence, which I guess are a minority of the other protesters, you're not seeing the pictures of the peaceful protesters. You're seeing, the ones that are resorting to violence because, if it bleeds, it leads. Like, or I guess if it burns, it leads too. That just doesn't rhyme. But if it's standard operating procedure to kind of hang back a second and let the people get it out of their systems, then why is this mayor being so singled out as opposed to all the other mayors and all the other law enforcement officials and all the other people who in those other towns where those rioting takes place, and again, the police don't come in immediately to stop them from doing so? Well, I'll give you three guesses. First two don't count. Again, it's part of the fact that we have, we don't look at white rioters and say that how horribly that, they were raised, and we have perpetual things, and that white leaders need to speak up and against these people from doing so. And those people are doing over sports games. But when a group of black people gets so angry over a shooting of another black individual, or killing, in this case, of another black individual, a death of another black individual, if you're going to refuse to believe that it was the police that killed him. Though somehow that's just, systemic in the community, that the community, this is a community where it teaches violence, whatever. Does white people have that same thing when they go riot? No, because they're viewed as individuals who are doing things. And so, again, we have two systems in this country, one for black people, one for white people. And this isn't going to stop by us looking at the people who are part of the uprising, people who are pushing more than just peaceful protests, and who have been pushed over the limit, who have been pushed over the edge, who have frankly had enough. It's not going to stop by telling those people and calling those people thugs. It's not going to stop by calling those people names or by putting the blame on them. It's going to stop when the rest of society listens, when we fix the cause. You don't wipe your nose and think you've cured your cold. You prevent your cold from coming in the first place. You don't look at the protesters and stop that protest and think that magically you solve the problem of racial injustice that takes place in this country. You do that by solving the systemic issues where you have unequal treatment, disproportionate treatment of negative treatment of black people by law enforcement. And simply the way it goes. And as I said before, you know, if people don't start listening, if people don't start taking action to fix that problem of institutionalized racism that still exists in this country, things are going to get better before they get worse. And when they do, I'm not going to stand on the side of the oppressor. I will stand on the side of the oppressed. Anyway, that is the end of the show this week. I schedule it a half an hour late just to give myself a little buffer, but you know, this is the end of this week's show. I urge everybody to, again, if you, I'll be talking about this, I'm sure, for weeks to come. You know, you can call in next week. You can write on the blog post at liberaldan.com if you have more comments you want to make now. You know, follow me at Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/liberaldan, blogtalkradio /liberaldan, and liberaldan.com. Until next week, 8 p.m. Central, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.